Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website www.lmc.org.au.
Good morning, church. Welcome. It's great to be with you all. It's great to be in church this morning and a privilege to be kicking off the year with you all. And if you're tuning in on holidays, usually you wouldn't have the opportunity to tune into church while you're away, but here we are. It's so great to be with you. You should know that Melbourne's really turned on the weather today. If you're outside of Melbourne, you wish you were here. It is so good. It's a great time to be speaking this time of year. Who enjoys this time of year? Show of hands. Yeah, it's nice. We've got Christmas, Boxing Day sales, Boxing Day test, the New Year's period. We all have a little bit more time on our hands at this time around. And a lot of the time we have this time for reflection, for anticipation, for expectation on the year that is to come. We reflect on the year that's been. We reflect on 2020 and the ups and the downs, and we look forward to the coming year. Holly and I are not big resolution people. You might have set a couple of resolutions. We sometimes set goals, like we want to read more, so we turn the subtitles on the TV. But you might have set one or two real ones yourself. And on the 3rd of January, it's the 3rd of January today for those that have lost track, I would like to think that everyone is still a little bit optimistic. You've still got your resolutions intact or your goals intact if you've set some. And we've all got a fresh slate or a fresh start. I hope you haven't lost your goals or your resolutions yet. I won't ask you to raise your hand because that'd be embarrassing, but we're all excited about the year ahead. What are you hoping for? Maybe it's a healthy diet, or maybe you want to read more and watch less Netflix. Maybe you want to go to the gym more. All these things, great things. But a survey showed that the second most popular resolution is to eat more of their favorite food, and the third most is to diet more. So there's a bit of a contradiction there. Unfortunately, studies have also shown that 60% of people make New Year's resolution and only 8% of them achieve them. Hate to break it to you. Of these people, 50% of them have given up by the 21st of January. That's 3 weeks' time. So not great odds. The truth is, the start of the year is a great time, though, to be optimistic about making positive change in our lives. And how many people have heard the saying, "New Year, new me"? New Year, new me. Unfortunately, the positivity is short-lived when we fail to see the things through that we aim for. Now, you may be one of those 8% that sees your goal through. Well done. You're probably someone that loves a challenge. And I know many of us, guys in particular, at least have to attempt a challenge that is set before us. When Holly tells me you can't take down that door yourself, I see it as my duty and my challenge, despite how unhandy I am, to give it a go. This was my most recent DIY project up there. I hung up some Christmas lights, and there was a fair bit of rain in December, so I thought to keep it from getting wet, I'd wrap Glad Wrap around it, which did the job, and a few people think is not the usual way of doing it, but I was resourceful. Unfortunately, if I'm being completely honest, the majority of the time I fail. Like these resolutions, I try, but I can't get the job done. Because when it comes to resolutions or challenges set before us and our motivation is internal, is based on ourselves, our changing needs and desires, we lack the motivation and the ability to see success in our own strength. But as Andy mentioned earlier, how reassuring is it to be here this morning to reflect on last year and the last weeks as we did, how God reigned through last year, and now look to 2021 and know that even if we are unable to see the successes that we have set out to do, God will reign in 2021. He reigns moving forward. And so our focus doesn't need to be new year, new me, but new year, same God. New year, same God. And this morning, I want to challenge us to look beyond ourselves to God's purpose for our lives today in 2021 and beyond. To look beyond the positive but sometimes superficial resolutions like diet, and look to God's purposes, the greater purposes that He has for us. With God being the same God, His purposes for you this year is the same as it was last year. His purposes for you has always been to bring you more life. John 10:10 says, "The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life to the full." God wants this year, 2021, to be a year of life to the full for you. this morning as we set our sights on the year ahead, and as Chris said last week, perhaps we have done a stock take on our lives and recognized a few things that we want to change this year. It might be physically, it might be emotionally, it might be spiritually. And as we perform this stock take, I believe that everything in our life can be put into two categories, either life or death. Therefore, we could really challenge ourselves moving forward, and we can reflect and take a stock take and think about the things in our life and think about whether they bring life or death. Our prayer life, our reading of the word, life or death. That show that we watch, life or death. That friend that we see each week, does it bring life or death? Taking the time to rest and have a coffee, does it bring life or death? Think about those things and think about what it brings. Will you choose to surrender your daily walk to God's plans and his purposes? Will 2021 be a year of more life for you? This morning, I want to dive into some of the things that God instructs us to do through his word as he calls us into something new, as he calls us into the new and the more life. No matter how long you have been a follower of Jesus, there is always something new for you, something you can grow in, as we heard last year. Whether you are 3 or 93, there is something that God wants to develop in and through you this year. Maybe you can't currently see something new on the horizon. God is waiting and ready to bring you into the new this year. It may be a small change. It might be a habit of reading the word, or perhaps making a more conscious effort to talk about your faith at work or at school. Perhaps new is stepping out of your comfort zone into a couple of things that God's calling you into. Maybe it's a new stage of life, a new job, a new relationship, a refreshed spirit. Whatever is going to be new for you, God wants to be glorified through it and wants to bring greater life to you this year. So I've titled this message, Stepping Into the New. Stepping Into the New. Are you ready for the new? Great, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you, firstly, that you are a sovereign God. We thank you for the way in which you reigned in 2020. And despite everything that we see around us, we know that you are reigning. And that, Father God, we are called to greater things than what we see on this earth. And so, Father God, we thank you for the fresh year. We thank you for a fresh start. And Lord God, we take this opportunity to surrender ourselves and consider what it is that you are wanting to grow in us, what it is that you are wanting to reveal to us, inspire us in this year as we step into the new. So Lord, have your way in our hearts and our minds this morning, we pray. Amen. Would you turn with me to Joshua 1? Joshua 1. I know for many of you it's as much about turning to the screens as it is to your phones and your Bibles, but either way is fine. Joshua 1 is the chapter I wanted to focus on this morning. I love this book, and I love this chapter in particular. But before we get into it, there's a bit of context that we need to be aware of. We are picking up after Moses has brought the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. God has set them free with a promise to take them to the promised land. And as the Israelites rebel, however, they are kept waiting for 40 years in this wilderness. And through that time, Moses grows old and he dies, leaving Joshua as the next in line to lead the Israelites. So picture yourself as Joshua for a moment. He knows that these are extremely big shoes to fill. Moses was their leader out of Egypt. He brought them the Ten Commandments. He was very much God's spokesperson to the Israelites. And he'd left this dangling promise unfulfilled. For years, Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man, but now it was time for something new for Joshua. It was time for Joshua to step in to lead the people. So at Joshua 1, verse 1, and the New Living Translation, I love this, it titles the first part of the chapter, God's Charge to Joshua. This was God's mission for Joshua. After the death of Moses, the Lord's servant, the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant. He said, Moses, my servant is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River into the land I am giving them. I promise you what I promised Moses. Wherever you set foot, you will be on land I have given you. From the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea. How's my pronunciation of those? Was that all right? They're good. Including all the land of the Hittites, no one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you and as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess the land I swore to the ancestors I would give them." Have you ever been told that you're the one? Turn to the person next to you and say, "You're the one." You're the one. Now you have. My sisters used to tell me, "You're the one," when I was young. When they used to dress me up as their doll, I was the one by default because I was their only little brother who had to do what they said. So I was the one for their costumes. It scarred me a little bit. But anyway, in verse 6, Joshua is told, "You are the one who will lead these people to possess the promised land. You are the one." It's a high calling, but God has given Joshua ownership over that calling, just like God has given us ownership over our calling. As God calls us into the new, he's saying to you, "You are the one." Before we can go any further into this message, I have to pause here, because if you don't see yourself as usable to God, then the rest is redundant. If you don't see yourself as loved by God, as created by God with gifts and talents designed just for you to reach certain people, then you will miss what God is calling you into. How often do we say to ourselves, that's not for me. That's not my role. That's their calling, not mine. I couldn't possibly join the worship team. What do I have to offer? I can't get up on stage to bring a word. What do I have to say? I can't beat this sin struggle. It's just part of who I am. Don't let the enemy rob your growth and your calling. Don't box God in to what you think your limitations are. God is ready to use your strengths and your weaknesses for his glory. No one else can step into the new for you. God is saying that you are the one. And more good news this morning is that you don't have to do it alone. Not only did Joshua have the backing of the Israelites, but he had a calling from God saying, "No one will be able to stand against you, and I will be with you." Now I'm going to ask Nick up on stage for a bit of a demonstration. Can you come up here, Nick? Yeah, you can. I thought it's exciting. Exciting to have Nick on. So let's give Nick a hand. I'm going to give her a blindfold. Yes, please, put that one on. And as you do that, I'm going to get something from the audience. Take your time. It's not like everyone's waiting for you. Could have. All right, Nick. Now on this stage somewhere, there is a block of chocolate. I need you to find it. All right, stop there. Very difficult. We could watch you all day because it's funny, but we're just going to leave you there for a moment, and I'm going to take a different approach. All right? On the stage, on the drum risers, there is a block of chocolate, so I'm going to need you to turn to your right a little bit, take two steps. Oh, not this way, other way. Yep, two steps, one. Oh, there's a guitar there. Someone put that there quite unfortunately for my example, but you can turn to the right a little bit more, take one step. Okay, I'm going to move this guitar. Thanks, Ron. Go to the left. Yep, bend over to your left. Perfect, got it, done. Easy. Well done. You get to keep that block of chocolate. Yeah, that's it. And let me just point out to my example, sometimes the enemy puts things in our way that can... yeah? Sometimes there are things in our path that can block us from getting where we're going to. But when God is calling you every step of the way, when God is directing your steps to where you are going, it makes it a whole lot easier than when you just know that something's out there and you are just blindly trying to find it and get there. Because when God is calling us, we have the confidence to step into what God is calling us into, even if that thing is new. When you are familiar with God's voice, he can guide you through each step that you need to take. If you're not listening to God's call to direct your steps, then it's going to take you a whole lot longer to get there, and you may not even make it. If you're taking notes this morning, I have 5 key points based on Joshua 1 this morning when it comes to stepping into the new. And this is point number 1. Know your calling. Know your calling. Knowing your calling means listening and recognizing God's voice. It doesn't mean you know everything about your future. It doesn't mean you have your 20-year plan set in stone. It just means that you are ready to ask and commit where you are now and your next step the way in which God is wanting to use it. If you have a pet, you'd know they can hear and respond to their master's call. Even our cat Chino, who most of you met through the host spot last year and was the star, she recognizes her call, but only sometimes does she respond to it, but she still recognizes it. In the same way, though, when our master, God, calls us, it is our responsibility to listen and then respond. No one else can make you step into what God is calling you into, only you. So you may really struggle at times to hear God's voice, and therefore God's calling. And so you might be unsure of your calling this morning. Well, these were Jesus' final words in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. He said this, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." As a general overview, your calling is to be Jesus' representative wherever you are. Wherever God has placed you right now is where he wants to use you. You don't need to wait for a new job or the new house you can share with people or more money that you can give. God is calling you right now to make disciples where you are. So know your calling and know that you're the one. Point number two in stepping into the new is to be strong and courageous. If you've read the book of Joshua, then I'm sure that these two words stood out to you like they did to me. God repeats them on a number of times to Joshua. In verse 6, he says, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them." God never said that stepping into the promised land was going to be an easy process. Stepping into the new is not always easy. In fact, God tells us that life is not going to be easy. In John 16:33, it says, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." God's command to Joshua is to be strong and courageous, knowing that despite the difficulty, God will be with them. And the Israelites were about to face wars with armies, trying to stop them from getting to their promised land. In the same way, we face an enemy that will try to steer us away from what God is wanting us to do in and through us, like that guitar on the side there. And here are just a few challenges that the enemy will use to prevent us from stepping into the new. Number one, fear. Maybe you've had a bad experience in the past and you're fearful of something. I know for people that have a fear of magpies, it's often because of a bad experience, a little bit like this guy.
Hey, hey, hey!
Poor kid. I'm sure that would scar you for life. I can't quite relate to that. I've never had an experience. Has anyone been swooped badly like that by a magpie? A lot of people. So you might have a fear of magpies. One thing that I had to deal with in my life, not magpies, but when I was playing footy, and it's my only footy example, I promise, for today, but I used to play as a halfback, a floating halfback. And for those of you that don't know what that is, basically what you have to do is try to read the ball at the back and stand in front of the full forward who's coming at you, usually about 100 kilos, and try to mark the ball in front of them. And they would usually stick their knee into your back or into your head, and it was really fun. But one day I got knocked out, and this was actually the sixth time in my life that I'd been concussed. And there's me there, and it was quite a serious one. I had to go to hospital and had to get a lot of tests done to see whether I could actually play again. And they all came back, and I was fine. But when I eventually did come back, I had that memory in my mind of what if I get hit in the head again every time that I went back. And I was thinking about that continuously, and it took me a long time to stop that hesitation of going back with the flight of the ball, because I was thinking about the outcome and the outcome being negative like it had been on that occasion, rather than being strong and courageous in that moment. This was something I had to overcome, like many bad experiences that can prevent us from stepping into what God has called us to do. We are called to be strong and courageous through our fear. Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Another thing the enemy might put in our path is failure. Failure in the past. I don't get fishing. I've been fishing a few times. I haven't tried for years because every time I've been fishing, I've never caught a fish. And I don't know what it is, but I just sit there, I waste my time. So I've failed in the past and I don't go back. There were some fishermen in the Bible who couldn't catch any fish until Jesus came along as well. But that's another story. If you failed before, you may have written it off, but God may not have. If God is calling you to step into something that you've failed at in the past, then he is calling you to be strong and courageous through that failure. Proverbs 24, verse 16. The righteous may fall 7 times but still get up, but the wicked will stumble into trouble. The third thing I want to touch on is fatigue. A lot of the time, the enemy will put fatigue in our way. The new is exhausting sometimes. It's hard. It's easier to stay in your comfort zone, to stay where you are familiar. There are distractions all around us to try to prevent us from branching out. I'll just stay in and have a nap, or I'll just stay in today, I'll play Xbox or watch TV instead of going out and meeting new people. These things, sometimes familiar is easy. But it's amazing how nothing gives you more energy or satisfaction than responding to God's call. When we stay within ourselves, when we let the fatigue rule us, then it's unsatisfying a lot of the time. But when God calls us into something and we step out and we put that bit of energy in, it gives us energy back because we're doing what we've been put on earth to do. We are fulfilling God's call in our lives. So don't let fatigue or laziness stand in the way. Be strong and courageous. Isaiah 40, verse 29, he gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. There are just a few challenges that the enemy throws our way to prevent us from following what God has for us, and there's many more. But what gives us strength when we fear? What gives confidence when we're failed? What gives power when we're fatigued is knowing where the call is taking us. For when we know the outcome, we step in confidence. Ephesians 4, verse 4 says, "For there is one body and one spirit, just as you have been called to one glorious hope for the future." If Joshua had have been given the instructions from God, "Go and fight for the promised land," you may win or you may lose, depending on how good you are or how good you fight, then I'm sure he would have been a lot more apprehensive about actually doing it. But God told him, "No, the land will be yours. It's a done deal. For us, eternal life is ours. It's a done deal. The promise of eternity has already been won for us. All we need to do is follow God's voice, follow his leading." Some people in this world are stuck in the wilderness, are living in fear, in failure, in condemnation, in fatigue and discontentment, are being dictated to by what we see around us and not by what is waiting for us. If that's you this morning, it's time to lift our perspective. Stop walking around the wilderness because the promised land is waiting for you. When you know where you're heading, it changes how you live. So be strong and courageous. Point number 3 for stepping into the new is obey God's commandments. If we continue in Joshua 1 verse 7, it says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go." So God instructs Joshua to follow his commandments. I'm not sure if you can ever recall a time where you've been commanded to do something. I know when Holly commands something, I have no choice in the matter. It is in my interests to obey. My mum also, when I was growing up, was very patient. We used to play a lot of indoor sport in our house, and the indoor cricket matches got very heated. They were firm battles, but mum's command was that in order to play, I needed to remove the breakables off the coffee table and put them aside. Now, and at Christmas time, I had to remove the nativity set. It was very expensive. So I had a very good track record. And for 20 years, I think I only broke a couple of things in the house. And such was my confidence that one day I decided just to leave the nativity set there. And one of my cover drives just happened to knock the head square off one of the wise men of the expensive nativity. Now, although it was easier and convenient to leave the nativity set up at the time, it certainly didn't work out in my best interest. Just like it is absolutely in our best interest to obey God's commands. A commandment could be and has been defined as a divine rule, something that has been created by God, not to limit life, but to promote life. The world would say to the commandments, they're just a set of old rules that prevent you from doing what you want to do. But God knows that in order to bring life to the full, we must obey these commandments. You know, I heard that the commandments were spoken one time as a mirror, and I really liked this analogy. It says, if you are staying from following God's commandments, then it will have negative consequences on your life. You don't walk up to a mirror and see dirt on your face and blame the mirror. You use it to remove the dirt. You know, we must not covet. We must not steal. We must not have any other gods. We must not have any idols. We must not use the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your parents. We must not commit adultery. We must not murder. We must not lie. And the rest of the word, the rest of the Bible tells us these instructions, these commandments, which God has put in our path, in our life, to direct us, to keep us on track, to keep us in line, to help us remove the dirt from our face as we move forward. So step into the new, but see the commandments through. Point number four in stepping into the new is brought to us by Joshua 1, verse 8. The next part, the next verse, it says this: keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. So point four is to meditate on God's word. Everything that we need to be prosperous and to be successful is in God's word. God tells Joshua, meditate on it day and night. We all know to read our Bible, and what a terrific resolution to get into if that's something that you've struggled with. It's a habit that you've struggled with. Why not have that as a resolution? We need to read our Bible. But how often do you meditate on your reading? How often do we give time around what we read? To meditate means to focus yourself for a period of time, to apply what you are reading to what you are going through in life. Like a fire needs air and it needs oxygen to grow, we need to allow ourselves the time to let the word grow us and meet us where we're at. But not only in the times where we read, but God is telling Joshua and telling us that our thoughts, that our actions, that our days and nights should be reflecting God's word. Now, I know straight away that I need grace in that, just as I'm sure many of you do. If you saw me on a Saturday afternoon getting the dirt out of the gutters and putting it in the bucket and then the bucket falls onto the ground, I would not be reflecting the Bible well. I need grace for those moments. But isn't that something that each of us can continue to get better at? And I speak from experience, and what I often tell our life group boys in life groups is reading the Bible in the morning, it makes such a difference. How much better I am at being governed by God's word in my day when I start it with reading the Bible. So that before anything else, your mind is brought back to the anchor. How can I implement it? How can I implement what I've read this morning into my day? Talk about stepping into the new. Every day there is a new challenge. How can I implement today what God has spoken to me through his word this morning or today? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16 to 17 says this: all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. As we step into the new, we must be meditating on God's word. The final point today, point number five, is know God is with you to the promised land. Know he is with you. My wife was very creative at the start of the year. For my birthday, she took me to this place called iFly, which is basically indoor skydiving. Has anyone heard of it before? One person, two, Dan's heard of it. Extremely cool experience for those who would appreciate the feeling of jumping out of a plane, but also prefer to stay closer to the ground. We've got a video here, which will give you a better illustration of it. You could either just float there in the wind tunnel, or, like I was there, or you could pay an extra $10 to be taken up high. And we paid it, and after you've been floating there for a little while, the instructor would tell you to put your head up, relax your arms, as if you were doing all the work, and would spin you up like that, and all the way down. Pretty fun, pretty cool. Truth is, I had nothing to do with it at all. And had I been left on my own, I probably would have just been floating there or going crazy all over the place and lost control. But this guy was there to pull me back, to hold me down, to correct my balance, and then when the time came, he fully took control and took me flying. And this is such a real picture for me of the way in which God and the Holy Spirit is in our lives. He is there to direct us, to correct us, to lead us into the new, and prevent us from stepping into something that is not part of his plan. And when we let him, all that we need to do is surrender control, turn to face him, and he will control our journey. Through his strength, we step into the new with confidence, with assurance, and the promise of life and life to the full. At the end of God's charge to Joshua, in chapter 1, verse 9, he says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous again. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. There is nowhere you have been or are going that is too far for God. He is with you wherever you are and can lead you into the promised land, into what he is calling you into, no matter where you are starting from right now. Our promised land lies ahead of each and every one of us, the promise of eternity. But we still have a job to do. And Paul sums it up beautifully in Philippians 12, 3, verse 12 to 15. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. And let this be our attitude and our prayer this year. Let it be our attitude and prayer in 2021. This is what he says. "Not that I have already obtained it, this goal of being Christ-like, or have already been made perfect, but I actively press on. I actively press on so that I may take hold of that perfection for which Christ Jesus took hold of me and made me his own. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting 2020, forgetting the things that have held you back, forgetting the things that give you fear, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the heavenly prize, not the earthly prize, but the heavenly prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature, pursuing spiritual perfection, should have this attitude. And if any respect you have a different attitude, that too God will make clear to you." God is ready for you to step into the new this year. Are you? Paul says he presses on towards the heavenly prize, not the earthly prize, and pursues spiritual perfection, not earthly perfection, meaning we don't aspire to accomplish God's purposes with the expectation he will provide all that we want on earth, all that we want for this year. Everything is going to work out perfectly. But we allow the Holy Spirit to mature us spiritually, meaning no matter what is going on around us, no matter if we have to wear masks in church, God's calling, his purposes are being fulfilled within and through us. Within us spiritually. Pressing on to where he is calling you next. As we close, let me leave you with this image. It's an image of the Olympic torch. This torch is carried around the world, being passed on from one to another to light each other's fire. And I mentioned at the start how I loved the New Living Translation's title for Joshua 1, verse 1 to 9. It was God's charge to Joshua. Well, Joshua 1, verse 10 to 18 is titled Joshua's Charge to the Israelites. God imparts wisdom, strength, courage, and instruction into Joshua to forward on to others. The purpose of stepping into the new for you is not just to bring more life to you, but to bring more life to others. The purpose of stepping into the new for you is not just to bring more life to you, but to those around you. To carry the flame and not just let it sit with you, but to pass it on and let it be carried further. In Joshua 4, verse 24, a little bit further on, as the Israelites are on their journey to the promised land, God tells them the purpose of the Israelites' journey out of Egypt and into this new land. In verse 24, it says, this is God's purpose. So that all the peoples of the earth may know without any doubt and acknowledge that the hand of the Lord is mighty and extraordinarily powerful, so that you will fear the Lord your God and obey and worship him with profound awe and reverence forever. So let's close and sing this morning. We're going to sing My Hallelujah. And let's declare this morning that in 2021 and beyond, the Lord will have our hallelujah. You alone, the highest name. All to you I surrender. Every breath I take, make my life your praise. I didn't know the worship team would be singing this song when I had prepared the message earlier in the week. But what an incredible reminder in the bridge as we step into the new, as we step towards the promised land. That you are my strength when I'm weak. You are my sight when I can't see. As praise goes up, I believe the walls are coming down. For those that know what happens in the story of Joshua next, the Israelites and Jericho, they follow God's leading. They praise before these walls of Jericho. And what happens? The walls come falling down. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you so much that you have been with your people from the beginning of time. That you have chosen me, you have chosen us, Lord God, to fulfill your purposes here on earth. And Lord God, we don't have to focus on what we see around us, but Lord God, we just have to listen to your call, to respond, to take one step after the other, and know that we are fulfilling your purpose here on earth by spreading your joy, your hope, your love to the people around us. And so, God, no matter what happens this year, what happens for us individually and collectively, Lord God, we hand it over to you. We thank you that you will reign. And God, we pray and we ask that we would be with you on that journey. That, God, everything that we do, Father, would be to spread your light to those around us. And that you would bring more life to our lives as you have called us to. So God, just have your way. Have your way in our hearts. Move by your Spirit. And we declare that this will be our hallelujah this morning. This is our hallelujah, Lord God. As our praise goes up, the walls come down because of who you are. In your name, amen.